And he does all those wonderful things. His love language is gift giving. And he says, I love you, I love you, I love you with his gifts. But he was not a verbal communicator.
But women are audible. They need to hear it. Men are visual. We need to see it. When a woman cooks us a meal, that's love. I mean, you need to understand visual things. That's why we marry women and we don't marry men, because they're good looking. We don't look good. I don't look around in the locker room. Or in the men's room. My wife ministers in the women's room.
The women's room is an important room for ministry.
We'll get off of airplanes and she'll say, I got to go to the bathroom. We got to go catch the next flight. No. And she'll go in there and I'll be standing out there holding her handbag for 10 minutes.
We go two by two normally. It's scriptural. Even into the bathroom, we take a friend.
Well, you meet friends in the bathroom because she's in there and the women will come out and they're like clowns out of a little car. Oh, your wife, she's so precious. She gave me this recipe. And your wife, she gave me this scripture. And your wife, and I'm like, I said to her one day, I said, honey, how do you women talk? They're stalls. You can't even see one another. Because I've had to go and get her out of them so we make flights. I said, they're stalls. You can't talk to each other. You just look at each other's feet.
We talk to the feet.
And she pulls out this obscure scripture that says,
how beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news.
Men, we don't do that, do we? Yeah, we walk right on in. We stand there. Ain't no looking around. Do not lay hands on another man at that time. And it's not the time to ask somebody if you want to meet Jesus. No. You do your thing and you get out.
We're different for
sure. So you understand. We're going to teach on the differences between men and women tomorrow. I don't know. After that story, we might not ever get invited back. But
it is all about the way the husband does it. The husband loves the wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for it.
So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in a glorious splendor without spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and faultless. Don't look for your wife's faults.
That's right.
They find their own. My wife's Miss America, but she can look in the mirror and she can tell you, I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with that. She's Miss America, most beautiful woman in the world. Women find, look, we don't find faults, guys. We don't. We look in the mirror. I say, you good-looking thing, don't you ever die. We can wear that. We wear that football jersey when we were in high school, and half of it's not covered anymore. We find no fault. They find fault. You are to tell them how beautiful they are. I married Miss America. So did you.
Absolutely.
You married the most beautiful woman in the world to you. Treat her like it. That he might present the church to him in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle, even so husbands should again love their wives.
Twice now.
As being in a sense their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, carefully protects and cherishes it, as Christ does the church. Because we are members or parts of his body, for this reason a man should leave his mama and his daddy and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
And that's what we talked about earlier. That is scriptural, that every time a couple gets married and a new generation starts, you can leave every curse of the generations behind. Yeah. You can leave them behind and start new. And women, we marry the men, and we have no more curses because we take on their life now. We may take on what they have in their life, but now, because we're one, we have access and power of attorney to believe and expect God to move in their life. Listen, I prayed for years for Harry. Lord, change Harry. Lord, change him. Lord, change him. Lord, change him. I saw no change. None at all. And finally, one day, the Lord said, I'm going to teach you how to pray for your husband. Great. Thank you. And he said, Lord, change me. Not me, God. I'm all right. He's a mess. What do you mean? He said, pray, Lord, change me. Father, are you not paying attention? Have you not been watching what's going on down here? He said, listen, you don't understand oneness. He said, when you become one with your husband, if you don't pray, Lord, change me, I have no access to him. When you say, Lord, change him, you are automatically separating yourself from him and acting like you're not one. He said, when I made you one, you say, Lord, change me. And not only will I begin to change you, because the one who thinks they don't need to change is the one who needs to change the most. Not only will I change you, but because now you're one, you've given me legal access into his heart through your heart. Lord, change me.
The mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relationship of Christ and the church. However, each man of you, without exception, love his wife.
Love your wife.
Now, right there, he has said it three times.
All you need is love.
Love your wife. Love your wife. Love your wife. Being, in a sense, his very own self. And let the wife see that she... Wait a minute. Now, we've shifted.
Because it's like seed time and harvest. It's
you didn't have to
buy
anything.
You give, I give. You give,
you didn't have to clean out your man cave. You didn't have to do anything else.
Love your wife. Love your wife.
Now, here's what you get in return. See, this is reciprocity. It says... And let the wife see that she respects, reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates him, esteems him, that she defers to him, she praises him, and she loves and admires him exceedingly.
The word honor means to open the door. When you honor your husband, it opens the door for you to communicate with him. It opens the door for him to communicate with you. Just by honor, honor opens the door. That's why the Bible says, honor the Lord with your first fruits. It's just to get the door open. It's all about when I honor, it opens doors. Honor opens doors.
Now, when we came with all of this to becoming one and the power of agreement, can you bring that blackboard, or that white marker board with the light here?
In Matthew,
we're going to close here because we're getting close to our time, okay?
We're missing a lot of points, but you'll connect the dots and we'll finish up in the morning. Matthew 18, 18 and 19 is an awesome scripture about agreement because it all starts with what unity means. Thank you very much. Unity, agreement, the power of agreement. And we began to get this revelation, and the Lord began to speak it to us, and I began to walk it out, and my life began to change, and Harry began to change, and our marriage began to change. And Harry said to me, he said, you know, I'm visual. I get it. I understand it. I'm living it. But he said, I want you to prove it to me. And in Matthew 18, the scripture says, verse 19, again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make symphony together about whatever, anything and everything that they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered together, drawn together as my followers in my name, there I am, and that's capital I am, there I am in the midst of them. And so the power of agreement lies in our getting to the point where I can agree with him even... even when I don't want to. Because here's, first of all, ladies, you need to get to this point. I had to get to this point that it's not worth it to be right. It costs you too much in your relationship to have to always be right. Having to be right cost me so much. It was never, ever worth what it cost me to prove that I was right. And agreeing with my husband would... The scripture says if I agree with my husband, it brings God on the scene.
But
now, I can't fix our relationship, but if I can bring God on the scene, God can fix our relationship.
But two things, and you can go ahead and start on the board there. The verse 19, it says, again, I tell you. Now, you have to understand, everything in the Bible, if you read your Bible, every word is important, every comma is important, every period is important. They're placed for a reason. They're either pauses or they're connecting things or the capitalization. Here it says again, why? Because every day you're going to have an opportunity to walk in disagreement. And he says, I remind you every day, again, I tell you, walk in agreement, walk in agreement, walk in agreement. He reminds us that we have to. And here's a great scripture, and then Cheryl's going to prove it to you on the blackboard. Back in Genesis, They were talking about the power of agreement all the way back in Genesis.
Genesis chapter 11, verse 6.
No. Is it 11?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Flip one page. It says they were building the Tower of Babel, right? Which is
so
not godly. But
certainly not godly people.
They're not godly people.
They're prideful people.
But it says, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people. They have all one language. But before that, in verse 5, it says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons had built. He had to come down because the law of agreement works. when two people are agreed as touching anything, there I am in the midst of them. It's written.
Agreement is like a legal summons to the throne room. I mean, here a heathen nation is building a tower, but because they're in agreement, God says, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us go down there and see what they're doing. The only reason they would go is because the power of agreement had been instilled into the earth. And so agreement is like, come.
But he couldn't let them have power, so he confounded their language. But here's the neat scripture. It says, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people. They have all one language. And this is only the beginning what they will do. And now nothing that they have imagined that they can do shall be impossible for them. What can you imagine tonight?
Agreement.
And now so you need to understand, as far as your human mind can go, and what can you think? Because as far as you go in your own humanness, God says,
and this is only the beginning
of what they will do. Because now I take it from a spiritual or supernatural standpoint, because their mind can only go so far. And that's where I take and move them far. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. It's not the end of your marriage. When you turn it over to God, because you've exhausted everything. Bible says, when you've done all, stand. He said, when you've done everything, then he says, and now nothing that you can imagine shall be impossible for you. Because I take over in the supernatural, and I make a way where there's no other way. You can go to counselors, and they're going to tell you, well, let's talk about your past. God doesn't bring up your past. I want to talk about your future. Because he sent his son to talk to you about your future. Everything is about what we do today that has an effect on us tomorrow. And we don't have to be affected by the things from our past, because you can't change your past. I cannot go to the cemetery and dig our daughter's grave up and bring her alive.
We had to have a vision of her in our future. She's not in our past, but she's in our future. She's not dead, but she's alive.
Farther than you can think or imagine, when I get involved in the supernatural, you have a future with her. You might say, well, you guys talk about your daughter a lot. Yeah, you need to understand, we've been through some things in our life. We used to be the snotty-nosed kid sitting at the end of the table writing everything all down. And then we became the ones that were starting to talk. And now we're the ones that people are asking questions to. You have to go through things in life before God can use you. So don't despise the things that you've gone through, because he's now created a purpose for you. See, when your marriage changes, and we're going to show it to you in a minute, you get to go out to the world, who the only thing that they have an example of is what's on television. Men who are weak, can't balance their checkbook. Wives who are, I won't say the word, but you know what I'm talking about. Mother-in-laws who are worse. No. And even if you went all the way back, Andy Griffith, they didn't have a family. The wife was deceased. Well, then you look at Ward and June Cleaver. My mom never walked around the house with pearls in a dress.
This wife sure don't.
You see, that's called fiction. But we live in a real world. And people want to see the reality in your marriage, because you are the living example of Christ on this earth. And my wife,
well, and I just want to solidify as I show this, one of the reasons we do talk a lot about Gabrielle in this particular service when we're talking about unity is because percentage-wise of people who bury a child, the percentage of them making it is very bad. More than 50% of couples divorce over a death of a child. And so one of the reasons we talk about it is when Gabrielle was sick and we went through a year of her brain tumor fighting, and then 3 months after that I had colon cancer. And so we learned how to walk in agreement before, and it solidified during the worst fire of our life. You have to learn how to walk in agreement when it's not in the fire, because when you get in the fire, you need to know how. You need to learn how to walk in agreement over the little things, so when you get in the big things, you've practiced a lot. on how to walk in agreement. And for Harry, it came about, he said, I get it. I'm beginning to see the scriptures. I'm beginning to understand Amos 3:3 and Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. I'm beginning to see these things you're talking about. And we'll talk some more about it in Genesis about how God created male and female in the morning. And it'll help you understand it even more. But he said, I just need to see it. You need to prove it to me. So I began to search through the ancient Hebrew. I love the ancient Hebrew. I love how it's written, and I love how if you understand it, you see things that was completely travels through thousands of years. And I began to search for the word unity, and I don't know if you'll be able to read that far away, but the word unity in the ancient Hebrew is three letters. It strongly fenced the door. And in the ancient Hebrew, for every word, there's also a number that coincides with it and a picture or a story that goes with it. And the story that goes with unity is a story of, let's just say we're in this room tonight and a fire breaks out, a real fire, not a Holy Ghost fire, a fire breaks out in this room. What would you do without thinking? You'd run, of course. The automatic response to fire is we run from it. What would happen if you got to every door marked exit, any way out, and it was fenced or it was barred? It was strongly fenced. There was no way out. You had to stay in with the fire. Then what would you do? You pray. What else would somebody else do? You find some water. Okay, good. Because what happens with unity is there is no exit. There is no way. And you've got to find a way to fight the fire, because life is filled with fires and you have to walk in unity. And hey, I am from Mississippi and I'm about to prove it. Listen, there may not be a lot of us in this room, but if there was a fire and we all did the same thing at the same time, we could probably spit on it and put it out. Because it just takes a little bit from everybody that accomplishes much when we do it at the same time and at the same way. Now, granted, if some prayed and some found water and somebody threw a coat on it, we'd probably die. But if we all did the same thing at the same time, we could put the fire out. And that is what the word unity means. Strongly fence the door. In other words, in our language, we would say unity means a no option plan. From this day forth, I don't leave myself any exits in my mind. I don't start my marriage with exits. I start my marriage, my relationship, with no exits, only unity, only putting out the fire. Now, the word fire in ancient Hebrew means strong devour. And you'll see it throughout everything I'm about to show you. It's two symbols. The first letter, strong devour. The word fire is going to show up in two things that we've been talking about all night, male and female. Now, in the ancient Hebrew, there's no different word for male than husband. Husband is the same word as male, and for wife, the same word is female.
Now,
so they're the same.
I got to interrupt here. You said it's male.
And husband.
And husband. Doesn't say man.
No. And we'll talk about that tomorrow.
What? Tell them right now. The Bible says that when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, he didn't create you a man. He created you male. He created you to be a husband, but he gave you a choice to be a man. Everything God's given you is your choice. When I was 9 years old, they said you need to become the man. Well, there are some men who are still little boys, and there are some little boys that have been asked to be men, and it's both wrong. And you know, the neat thing about it is we raised two sons. We sure would have liked an age, because there's some people who don't grow up to be men until they're 30 years old. It's a choice that we have. God gives us so many choices. So, you are created a species male, and you are created to be husbands. Cheryl and I are rearing future husbands, but they are male, but they had to make a choice. See, when Roman went to Houston with his wife for the brain tumor surgery, he went down there as our little boy, and he came back her man.
Yeah.
Because they went through, the Bible says, through pressure thou hast enlarged you. See, through what he went through, he came back a different person, and I looked at my son differently. Can you imagine how God looks at you when you've gone through something, you come out of the other side? See, your father looks at the sons differently. I'll hold that a little bit better, sweetie.
Thank you.
Sorry we've gone a little longer, but
we'll
took time in the
this.
Morning or earlier just to, because you've never
so
been
you get
here
to
before.
Know you. Male means His hand is in the midst of the fire. And you notice here, these are the two symbols for fire. His hand is in the midst of the fire. All males should keep their hands in God's fire. That's how God created men, to keep their hand in the midst of his fire, his purifying fire. His hand is in the midst of the fire. Female means what comes out of the fire. And we didn't get to that tonight, but we'll talk about it tomorrow, about what this actually means and why God did not take woman out of the sight of man. She took him out of the fire of man. What comes out of the fire? Notice here that the two symbols for female are also fire. So you have two symbols here for fire, two symbols here for fire. But this one right here, this difference.
Right it here.
Okay. That's the two things that the world says you can't get along because we're different. We just don't understand each other because we're different. I mean, this crazy book that got written and everybody talked about it, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. I'm not from a planet that's filled with poisonous gas. I'm from heaven. And so are you. And I don't come from some other planet. I come from God, and I'm going back to God. And so this is why the world says we can't get along because we're so different. But this is what God says. Where two of you agree on earth is touching anything, there I am in the midst of them. Is that not what the scripture said? So if you take the difference in male and female and you put them together, those two symbols actually spell a word in the Hebrew. They spell God. When we agree, there I am in the midst of them. And if this does not prove to you what God is looking for in our relationships, we cannot be his image until we learn to walk in agreement. Because how can two look like three until he gets in the middle of us and two become three? Now triune looks like triune, and the world can see God when we walk in agreement. We'll finish tomorrow.
Wow. Sorry, baby. How are you? That just freaked me out. Well, listen, church, don't get mad at me because I'm stealing this right here. You will hear that again from me. You could be seated for just a moment. Ushers, if you can come forward. What we want to do tonight is give you the opportunity to actually sow into unity this evening. I love what they brought forward there with the concept of unity, and how if you could just agree tonight with what God has for you, maybe you're single or maybe you're married, but if you could just become unified in that, the stuff that's impossible now it's impossible. It's impossible for it to be impossible any longer. You know, it just can't be impossible to you. And so we want to give you the opportunity to sow significantly into perhaps a future spouse, or perhaps the unity you need right now between you and your spouse. So if you could take the time right there where you're at to just kind of consider what God would have you to sow significantly in this service, and then we'll pray for it. Amen. Let's pray for it. Father, we thank you tonight. That you are in our midst. As we submit ourselves to you and your plan for our life. Individually, Lord, we realize that we're one with our spouse and we give you legal access to them. We thank you, Lord, for your restoration in this room tonight. For healing. Just sense that God has brought healing to men tonight. As Harry brought forth his testimony, we saw some things we might not have seen before. And as Cheryl shared how she had to submit herself and serve the Lord, we saw some things we hadn't saw before. We thank you tonight for this opportunity.
and covenant to become one, unified with your plan, your mission. And we would truly begin to build a relationship that defies logic, defies natural, and becomes supernatural. We sow this seed tonight. We sow it, and we say, we're unified with what God has His plan for our marriage and our life. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. They're going to receive that. And as they do, I want to encourage you to go ahead and just take some time, and we'll worship the Lord, and we'll close here in a little while after we worship the Lord. Amen.
Jesus. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. I want to know what love is.
We stand on our feet. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for this night. Tonight, we believe that you are a miracle-working God, that nothing is impossible with you. We thank you, Lord, for the word we received tonight. We know, God, that it is so powerful. It's the most powerful force available to the earth. And that's your word. It divides joint and marrow. It goes where no surgeon's knife can go and no counselor's counsel can go. Your word is so powerful. Thank you for allowing it to come to us tonight. And we allow it to do its perfect work in us. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, church, I want to remind you, on the way out, you can visit the book table. Lots of books there from Harry and Cheryl. And there's actually, for all you women, there's some jewelry. And I heard it's pretty cool. And I asked if they had any men's jewelry, but they didn't have any. But so, men, maybe Harry will start working on some jewelry for us men. And then we can have some swag like that. But God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in Lorraine. God bless you as you go. Visit the table.